Welcome to This Green Earth, a weekly talk show on environmental issues and concepts of sustainability. I'm Chris Cherniak. Nell Larson is away this week, so joining me as guest co-host is Melissa Marstead. Again, thanks to Melissa for taking the time to join me and help me out this morning.
And I'm happy to be here. Yeah. Thank you.
Well, we have a really great show. Three different topics we're going to cover. The first one, though, is a really interesting one regarding both Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument and the Bears Ears National Monument. And it was specifically some of the management plans that have been proposed and revised for each one of those monuments. So joining us to talk about those is Carly Farrow. She's an associate organizing representative with the Utah chapter of the Sierra Club. And Alistair Bitsoy, he is from the Utah the grassroots organization, Utah Dine Bekeya?
Correct.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yes.
If I do nothing else today, I got that right.
Or you can say UDB as well.
We'll go forward with that. Yeah. Thanks, Alistair. So, Carly, let's start with you, and let's start with the Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument. That's been around for decades, right? Established in the late 90s by the Clinton administration. Yes, lots of controversy associated with its establishment. But there was a management plan that was put together for that. And you say that it took years for that management plan. This is back in the late 90s when it was first to be established and set up, correct?
Yeah. So designated in 1996, the management plan did not come out until 1999-2000. So you see that was 3 years of discussion and stakeholder relationships to build a comprehensive plan to manage that large swath of land that is filled with antiquities as well as just ecological resources that we all, you know, have come to love these days.
Right. So now under this current administration, the physical definition of Grand Staircase Escalante has been changed, correct? It's been reduced in size.
Yeah, so right now, with the executive order that Trump placed in December of 2017, it worked to reduce Grand Staircase by almost half and basically created fragmented landscapes, which from the ecology perspective is never good for our conservation space. But now this management plan that was released on August 23rd really only looks at that reduced half of Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument.
Okay. And with that is a management plan that is also being revised. And that has been put out for public comment?
Yeah, so we're on the final environmental impact statement. So that means the next point would be implementation of the plan. And so this has all happened. It's 2019. The executive order was placed December 2017, and they've really only started this management planning process within a matter of a year. So that just goes to show the magnitude of differentiation of the time that is being taken and the thought that's being put into this management planning process.
Okay. Well, then, what would you say are some of the big differences between the existing management plan and this proposed management plan?
Yeah, so one of the big differences that it actually opens up some more of the lands for increased motorized use, as well as opens up allotments along the riparian area of the Escalante River for grazing, which if you've been watching the Escalante River for over a decade now, Grand Staircase Escalante Partners has been doing an incredible job partnering with groups, bringing Youth Conservation Corps folks out to restore the riparian area, which was once, kind of littered with Russian olive that was there to stabilize dust, but then took over. And they've been working,
A non-invasive, an invasive species.
Yes.
An invasive species of Russian olive.
Yeah.
Okay.
And has brought youth from across the country to come and work in this place that not only provides them with an opportunity to restore a habitat, but an experience unlike any other. And now introducing grazing, as we know, it kind of mixes up the land and can create some destabilization of the banks that could, again, kind of circulate this process of a needing of restabilization, invasive species, possibly undoing all of this great work that has happened over the last decade.
Okay.
And what about the other half that's not included in what's happening to that land?
Right.
Well, because that's not technically right now protected under monument status, they're not doing much management planning for that area.
So that's really just
it's different management. Yeah.
That's physically removed from any it'll fall under different management guidelines, whether it's local, state, or maybe some other federal agencies, but it falls it's outside of the National Monument Management Plan. And that speaks to a lot of the cultural antiquities that are there. And I don't know, Alistair, if you want to talk about that, with respect to Grand Staircase Escalante, do we have a sense of the amount of cultural antiquities that lay there in one form or another that are at risk?
Good morning. This is Alistair, and to add on to Carly's comment about the antiquities, there is a Native Indigenous presence or footprint at Grand Staircase Escalante. However, my efforts today are just focused on Bear's Ears.
Okay, so we'll get to Bear's Ears. Yeah. I mean, they both have similar impacts, and antiquities is one of the big ones. Mm-hmm. So the management plan for the GSE then is being offered up, but it's under public comment, like we said earlier. So let's talk a little bit about how people can express their concerns through that process.
And I will note that while we're continuing to participate in the public process, we consider this as just an egregious use of funds to go forth with a management plan while the decisions are being debated in the courts. So there's still court issues that need to be litigated. But right now, there is an opportunity for the public to comment on the impact statement until September 23rd. And that's just for Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument.
Yeah.
And then also continuing to express your concern through letters to the editor, as well as sending all of your letters to the congressional delegation, letting them know that this process is reckless and that we should not be managing or implementing management plans until the courts have fully litigated these cases.
And is that public comment period something you go to, say, the Department of Interior website? Or BLM website?
Yeah, there's an e-planning for the e-planning, and we can provide that link. It's pretty extensive, and place it on the website for you all.
But you could probably just do a search on public comment, Grand Staircase Escalante, and you'll probably find a path to the formal public comment sections.
Yeah, and you could also visit the Sierra Club, our Instagram, and our Facebook. We also have ways to engage that way. And again, happy to include those so listeners can easily navigate to these spaces to make their comments heard.
Okay, so that's Grand Staircase Escalante and the revised management plan that is being proposed. And after the public comment period, what happens then? I guess the comments have to be addressed.
Yes.
And compiled and addressed, and that can take months to do.
Mm-hmm.
But then maybe, by the end of this year or so, once those comments are addressed, quote unquote, the plan can get implemented.
Technically, yes.
If it's not, but it could be challenged in court.
Could be challenged, and then, like I said, there's also still the pending court cases that could, throw a wrench in all of this planning.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. But if you got thoughts and comments and concerns, we're in the formal comment period for the grant. Now, not so much for Bear's Ears, because let's just continue that thought. The public comment, the formal public comment for the Bear's Ears National Monument is closed.
Yes, the protest period for Bear's Ears ended last Monday. Uh-huh. And so for Bear's Ears, I think to find out more information, just speaking on some of Carly's points, you can follow us on our Instagram at Protect Bear's Ears. You can also subscribe to our Utah Dene'epikea newsletter That's where we provide on-the-ground grassroots updates in what we're doing in San Juan County, including coverage of the San Juan County Commission, as well as just being in our Bears Ears communities. But in working with our partners for the protest periods, comments, we did collect over 300,000 comments as far as the protest period. And so that ended like last Monday.
Of course, you can continue to protest.
Right, right.
You know, through public forum, the public square, whether it's op-eds,
writing op-eds,
letters,
yeah,
calling your congressman, et cetera. But the formal comment period was closed. So let's talk about the management plan. There is a revised management plan with respect to Bears Ears, too. Mm-hmm. It's all going on at the same time.
Yeah.
So there wasn't a... Because Bears Ears is so nascent in its formation, it only was initially established in 2016, right?
Correct.
The end of 2016. So a formal management plan, like one that was established for the GSC, has never really been memorialized.
Mm-hmm.
And now this administration has taken that draft plan, we'll call it, and has changed it. What would you say some of the proposed changes are with respect to this management plan for Bears Ears?
I think there was one of the changes. I know that there, after this protest period, there's another public comment period as far as how to manage aspects of target shooting in the Bears Ears National Monument. So that's another, that's where the public comment actual, like it's open and people can submit public comments regarding that nature of target shooting in the Bears Ears National Monument. But
right,
beyond that, as an organization representing indigenous peoples of the Bears Ears region, we are continually opposed to the management plan, in part because we are, like Grand Staircase Escalante, we are still in litigation, and we see that the management plans for Bears Ears, the expedited illegal management plan for Bears Ears, does not consult the sovereign status of the five tribes that are suing the Trump administration,
and that
includes the Navajo Nation, Hopi Tribe, Pueblo of Zuni, Ute Indian Tribe, and the Ute Mountain Ute Tribe. That's the political sovereign governments that are not so much consulted in the land management process. And so as a coalition, those our tribes speak on behalf of us. And as a grassroots organization, we are the support system to them and provide the grassroots updates that are happening. And so far, we don't think the proper cultural or environmental surveys are even happening in that regard. And if you also look at the makeup of the MAC committee, the Monument Advisory Committee, that offers recommendations to this management plan, they're all basically anti-Bears Ears. So there's no like proponents of like Bears Ears, our elders, our board members, or even coalition tribe members, or even those who live in and around the Bears Ears region. They're not even appointed to that committee for recommendations.
They're not being consulted or otherwise in the room.
Yes. And even when they send a notice, like the federal agencies will say like, oh, we send tribes like a notice, but there's different connotations or definitions of what is considered consultation.
Right.
And so some of those consultation conversations are not legally happening as well.
And again, like the GSC, the physical size of the Bears Ears National Monument has been reduced by almost 1 million acres, from its original definition.
Yeah. So the coalition tribes, through our grassroots work with the elders, the cultural knowledge of the Bears Ears region, we initially had proposed 1.9 million acres to Bears Ears.
Right.
And then when we went through the White House through President Obama, we were able to successfully designate Bears Ears through the Antiquities Act at 1.35 million acres. And so that 1.535, sorry, 1.35 million acres right. was shrunk by the Trump administration, and that was, we say, like about 85%.
85%.
Yeah.
And as I understand, there's over 250,000 antiquities down there.
Yeah, we
that need to be protected.
Yeah, yeah. So like 100,000 antiquities. Yeah, and so those antiquities, I think people often, the broader general American public, and even particularly the federal agencies, think that antiquities are, yeah, they are like old ancestral. I don't like the word artifacts, but old ancestral cultural resources.
Okay.
And but there's also present resources, cultural resources that right. exist that are also like under threat as well. And so those are things that we are, even at these cultural resources also exist at Grand Staircase Escalante. And so in both monuments, those are what we're trying to protect, and we protect them, and we say protect, but we say, I think that's the closest word to what we're trying to keep safe. Right. And so far mm-hmm. as these cultural resources are spiritual, but they also have lives, they also exist as living beings, and so they're just like the plants and animals, and that's what we're trying to translate to the federal agencies and the decision makers and even the MAC committee members. Like, these are things that you need to consider that are absent at the table.
And these cultural resources are literally being absconded with, looted. Mm-hmm. I mean, is that mm-hmm. is that what literally is going on down there? That there are people who actually wake up in the morning with the you know, distinct goal of going in and finding these resources.
Yeah, and of course there are sensitive Nate issues regarding looting, I mean, which is yeah. rampant in San Juan County.
Is it?
Yes. I'm pretty sure it would be the same as Grand Staircase Escalante, but I think that's where human nature forgets to connect to the land. And it's not about extracting. And I think that's where this narrative with Bears, Ears, and Grand Staircase Escalante can be confusing mm-hmm. Or misinterpreted, because the work that we're trying to do or the voices we're trying to elevate or amplify includes having that simple respect for cultural resources. Mm-hmm. They're there for a reason, sure. not to be exploited, right. not to be sold to the black market.
Right. And like any resources like that, those are known. You talk about 100,000. Those are known resources. There's mm-hmm. always, of course, the unknown knowns right. that have yet to be mm-hmm. discovered. And so there, all of this is at risk, as you say, as Bears Ears has been reduced some 85%. I flippantly say it's like been reduced to the 2 ears. You know, it was Bears Ears, and now it's just ears, 2 ears.
Yeah.
In effect. But that's the level of reduction and the level of land that is at risk, cultural resource-wise mm-hmm. and natural resource mm-hmm. extraction-wise.
Right.
Because yes. that's also at risk for, like you say, Carly, mining and logging mm-hmm. and, well, even recreational, extended recreational mm-hmm. use, which does its own impairment yeah. to the yeah. land. So all of this is in play. We've only got a couple minutes. Where do people go to learn, continue to learn more about Bears Ears and this management plan? Again, you mentioned a website.
Yeah, you can follow the e-planning BLM website as well.
Yeah.
And you could learn the process there. And I think that's what a lot of the public needs to know, is understand how, what this management process is. And we try to simplify that through our messaging.
Yeah.
We do. I think a good way to keep engaged is through our Utah Dene Pekea Bears Ears newsletter, because we are writing about, like, from our lens, what we're seeing and what is happening with the Bears Ears narrative. And Instagram at Protect Bears Ears is a good outlet. We have coverage on our YouTube channels as well. So we do have on the ground conversation coverage of particularly the San Juan County Commission and decisions that they make there, because that has a broader impact in the work that we're trying to do protect Bears Ears, but also including Grand Staircase Escalante. Yeah.
Okay.
And I would also just to follow the fights at utah.sierraclub.org. You can follow us on Instagram at Sierra Club Utah. We also are always cross-posting with all of our different organizations within the coalitions of protecting the monuments. So sometimes you'll see some of the Protect Bears Ears posts on ours, and similarly, and we're all in this fight together. So,
And as a relatively recent transplant to Utah, I've been down in that area numerous times. So for Park City residents, I would highly, highly recommend going down there and seeing for yourself.
Experience it, observe it yourself, witness it yourself.
Mm-hmm. Respectfully and with good stewardship.
Yes. And then also just, is it okay if I do a last minute spiel for the Park City listeners? We do Protect Bears Ears. Our Utah Dene Pekea hosts an annual Indigenous dinner on Indigenous Peoples Day in October, on October 14th. And it's a fall fundraiser for our traditional foods program. And that's a good. That's another cultural resource that needs to be protected in both landscapes, because we often forget that cultural resources like foods, medicinal plants and herbs are a source of food systems of people. And so this fall fundraiser is an opportunity to celebrate those foods, but also to ensure that cultural food systems are protected as well.
All right.
And it's a delicious night.
Yes, Carly. Carly had we also serve the Four Corners Bears Ears potato. So that was a potato that was actually found at Grand Staircase Escalante.
Amazing.
And so and that is also found in the Bears Ears region, and there's cultural knowledge to that among the Indigenous peoples, and that's a good opportunity to taste Bears Ears.
We're going to end it right there.
Yeah.
Experience Bears Ears with all your senses in that sense.
Correct. Yeah.
So this is a third annual Indigenous dinner, Monday, October 14th, 6 to 10 p.m., Utah Cultural Celebration Center in West Valley City. And you can go to the website utahdenetbekea.org.
Yes, and it's a fall fundraiser, so you would have to buy some tickets. And definitely encourage it.
Alistair Bitsoy from the Utah Dene Pekea and Carly Farrow from the Sierra Club, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Okay. Thank you so much.